This is DW News live from Berlin. A warning that sectarian violence could return to Northern Ireland. Leaders call for calm after another night of clashes between police and protesters. It comes on the anniversary of an agreement that brought peace to the province. Also coming up. Military salutes and a moment of silence as Britain and the world pay tribute to Prince Philip a day after Queen Elizabeth's husband died. And the goals fly in as Champions League contenders Frankfurt and Wolfsburg clash in the Bundesliga's big match on Saturday. I'm Rahila Mohammed. Thanks for joining us. Ireland's Prime Minister has warned of a return to sectarian violence in Northern Ireland after a night of unrest in Belfast. The warning comes as Ireland and the United Kingdom mark the 23rd anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, which ended nearly three decades of conflict. Scuffles between protesters and police on Friday led to 14 officers being injured. The tensions mainly stemmed from the pro-British unionist community in Belfast. It's fueled by bitterness over the Brexit agreement, which imposes border checks between the province and the rest of the UK. Well, joining me live now from Belfast is Henry McDonald. He's an author and Ireland correspondent. Thank you very much indeed for being with us here on DW. So for decades, it seemed like peace had returned to Northern Ireland. And now this, what's happened?
Well, basically, you have a crisis of confidence in the unionist community. They believe that the protocol which the European Union negotiated with Great Britain to keep Northern Ireland in the single market has, in a sense, economically decoupled or separated Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK. And that has created a kind of constitutional uncertainty, added into other factors such as, poverty and ongoing sectarian division, which was not addressed by the Good Friday Agreement. You've got a toxic cocktail of social forces that produced the violence of the last 8 days. But I would say tonight, it's relatively calm. There's not as much tension around, which indicates that the rioting we saw is petering out, at least for now.
Okay, well, Henry, the Belfast City Councillor, Brian Smith, has been speaking about the reasons for the unrest. Let's listen to this.
You're talking about young people who have no hope, little opportunity, poor educational outcomes and training. Well, their life chances are already massively affected through the circumstances and the structural inequalities that we're dealing with post-conflict and now the ramifications of Brexit. I think Northern Ireland has been used as a pawn. It's been used as a pawn by the British government. It's been used as a pawn by the European Union.
Now, there were warnings that the split between London and Brussels could potentially lead to violence in Northern Ireland. What could have been done to prevent something like this?
Well, I would echo what the councillor said, but I would add that also the Dublin government also played a role in using Northern Ireland as a pawn in this big power game about how to sort out Brexit. What needs to be done, I think, in my opinion, is some modification of the protocol to lessen the disruption of the flow of goods from Great Britain into Northern Ireland, to undermine the impression that somehow Northern Ireland is 1 foot outside of the UK without the consent of its population. And remember, consent of the population is the bedrock of the Good Friday Agreement made 23 years ago. There can't be any constitutional change unless a majority vote for it. And the critics of the agreement say, well, the protocol imposed by London and indeed Brussels flies in the face of that. It does undermine the consent principle. And this is a very, very dangerous thing. And that's why we fought here today. There is disorder.
And like you said, today marks the 23rd anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. Would you say it's under risk of being under threat?
I think it is at risk. I mean, it has proved to be durable. It has survived massacres. It has survived serious public disorder and sectarian rioting in the past. What makes this time different is the argument about an Irish Sea border, because that raises the entire question of the constitutional existence of Northern Ireland. Which state is it in? And that needs to be addressed. And it does put the agreement at risk, for sure.
OK, Henry McDonald, live for us in Belfast. Thank you so much for your time. Let's take a look at other stories making headlines around the world. Myanmar security forces have killed more than 80 protesters in the city of Bago. This is northeast of Yangon. Myanmar has been in turmoil since the military took control in February. Chad's president, Idriss Deby, has held his last campaign rally ahead of Sunday's presidential election. Deby is expected to secure a sixth term in office, extending his three-decade-long rule. Human rights groups accuse his government of cracking down on the opposition in the run-up to the vote. Now, Germany's right-wing populist Alternative for Germany party is holding a convention ahead of national elections in September. Hundreds of delegates have come together in person in the eastern city of Dresden, despite rising cases of coronavirus in the country. Leaders are hoping for a show of unity and a move away from the internal struggles that have plagued the party.
They're the biggest opposition party in Germany, but on Saturday, they mostly stood in opposition to each other. Alternative for Germany's election campaign launch was sidetracked by internal power struggles, the party shying away from choosing their top candidates for September's federal election. Those wanting to topple current leader Jörg Meuthen for being too moderate will have to wait. We are now going into the election campaign. Internal struggles for positions or disputes will have to rest, and we have to deal with the opponent outside. We as a party want to bring a different spin to politics. Their lead candidates will be chosen in the coming weeks. The far-right party was founded in 2013, focusing on Euroscepticism. But in recent times, though, they've been capitalising on anti-immigration views. One thing that's remained constant is the turmoil at the top, with the leadership often riven by very public factional disputes. That's something they're hoping to avoid this time as they meet in Dresden to agree on their policy platform. This election, they're looking for votes in dissatisfaction with coronavirus restrictions. They also stated a desire to leave the European Union and reject action on the environment. We in Germany are not able to have a big influence on climate change. When you look at the program of the Green Party, if we achieve that, that is the destruction of our industry and of our car industry. That's not what we want. With polling around 12% and most parties already refusing to join a coalition with them, a limited role seems likely to await the AfD in the next German parliament.
Well, our political correspondent Simon Young was at the party convention in Dresden. He explained the main issues for the AfD ahead of September's election.
Yeah, what they've been discussing here is their campaign programme, which they launched last night, and that's under the slogan Germany but normal. They're emphasising an idea of what they see as normality, a vision that includes such things as the return to compulsory military service and nuclear power and more coal-fired power stations, and also, of course, ditching the euro. Well, many people will ask whether really that is a vision of normal Germany that a lot of people want to see, but the AfD says that other political parties don't care what ordinary people think. I think behind all the discussions here is still a discussion, a wider debate within the party about which direction, whether to drift further to the right or whether to somehow try and seize the middle ground of German politics. An attempt to oust the moderate leader, one of the co-leaders of the Alternative for Germany, that failed here in Dresden this weekend, and also an attempt by some of the delegates to make sure that this party conference would decide who would lead the party during this important election year, of course, federal elections in September. That too has failed. That might have strengthened the right. So there's a small victory, if you like, for the moderate wing of the AfD here in Dresden this weekend, but these internal battles, they rage on.
Now, Britain is mourning Prince Philip, husband to Queen Elizabeth. He died on Friday at age 99. Buckingham Palace announced his funeral will take place next Saturday, April 17th. Flags will fly at half-mast until then. And while the palace has asked crowds not to gather, people are still coming out to pay their respects. And the military has been paying their tribute to the prince.
Gun salutes rang out across the United Kingdom in honour of Prince Philip, who died on Friday at the age of 99, from Woolwich Barracks in London to Hillsborough Castle in Belfast, Cardiff Castle and Edinburgh Castle. All four corners of the nation pressed the pause button for a short while to remember the prince, who also held the title of the Duke of Edinburgh. Gun salutes were also held at sea on British Navy ships in honour of Prince Philip, who served in the Royal Navy during the Second World War. The prince found a special place in the public's heart.
I wanted to bring my kids here who, as they grow up, we'll remember this, we'll remember the royal family, and we'll be part of their life. So we wanted to really come here, pay our respects.
So what I've seen, just obviously from doing history in the past, studying it and things like that, yeah, he's absolute rock. And I enjoy watching the Queen's interviews when she says that obviously he was a rock to her as well, so yeah.
I think it's just lovely just to be near the atmosphere, you know. Just seeing off a person that lived a great life.
Buckingham Palace announced that the Duke of Edinburgh's burial is scheduled to be held at St George's Chapel in Windsor. The palace also said in a statement that despite this time of sadness, the coming days will be an opportunity to celebrate Prince Philip's remarkable life.
Now to some sports news. Saturday's big game in the Bundesliga saw Wolfsburg travel to Frankfurt. Both teams were in fine form this season as they close in on Champions League qualification. And it was no surprise that they served up a cracker.
Luka Jovic has added firepower to an already potent Frankfurt attack. Wolfsburg, on the other hand, have one of the league's best defences. Riedler Baku curled them in front with just 6 minutes gone. The lead, though, lasted 2 minutes. Yeah! Daichi Kamada fired in. Some misdirection needed to trick that stubborn visiting defence. Frankfurt had the momentum. Their top scorer, André Silva, muscled his way down the right. The on-loan Jovic did the rest, showing his parent club Real Madrid what they're missing. A defensive mix-up had Wolfsburg back level immediately after half-time through Wout Weghorst. Yeah! But the hosts were relentless. First, Silva scored his 23rd of the season to make it 3-2, before another punishing attack was eventually finished off by Eric Durm. 4-2, and still 30 minutes left to play. A brief goal truce was broken in the closing stages, Frankfurt defender Tuta putting through his own net. But it was nothing more than a consolation for Wolfsburg as Frankfurt held on for the win, Adi Hütter's side cementing their grip on the Champions League places.
Well, elsewhere, champions Bayern Munich were looking to maintain their 7-point lead at the top of the league with another win, but visitors Union Berlin had other ideas. Bayern's team was depleted through injury and suspension, but some nifty footwork by Jamal Musiala put Bayern in front after 68 minutes. Thomas Müller did well to set up Musiala, and the youngster then did the rest. But with just minutes left to play, Marcus Ingvarsson equalised for Union. Second-placed Leipzig's win on Saturday now means Bayern's championship lead has been cut to 5 points. This is DW News live from Berlin. Up next is Shift, taking a look at the growing esports market. You can also find much more news, analysis and video on our website, dw.com. I'm Raheela Mohammed. Thank you very much indeed for watching.